Thank you, Evangelina. Wow. That was a message in itself. Isn't that what Sabbath is all about? Be still, stop, and reflect upon Jesus. Thank you, Single Devotion, for coming from Napa and leading us in praise. Wasn't that a blessing, church? Amen. We would love to see you here as often as you can make it. We don't want to upset your pastor, though. Well, you know, we have a special meeting coming up here in a couple weeks. Have you kind of noticed as you looked around our church how things seem to be getting a little bit tired looking? And I'm not talking about me, because, yeah, I probably look tired. I'm talking about the church itself. You know, as you look around, look at the carpet, maybe you're feeling something as you sit. It feels like a spring, maybe. As you look at the screen, you wonder, how come they never retract it? How can we never, you know, move it up and down to see the mural behind there? Well, there's a congregation and there's a church, and we are the body of Christ. But this building is actually starting to age a little bit. Do you realize that we have not renovated our church since Ronald Reagan was our president? And so your finance committee and your church board have voted to bring it to you, the church body, to see if you are interested in renovating this church. So, if you're interested or you're opposed, we invite you to come to a meeting March 17. That's going to be Saturday night, 6 p.m. We're going to provide food so you can just come, fellowship together. Then we're going to have a time of prayer because we want God's will, and a time of presentation and questions and answers, and then we're going to vote. So please put that in your calendar. I know you're busy, but March 17 is a special time for our church to come together and decide if we should do this. Now let us pray. Oh, Father God, we are so appreciative of your presence here with us just now. Lord Jesus, it's been a long week. Lots of demands, lots of deadlines, lots of chaos, and Lord, here we are. We just pray that you would tune us into your frequency and quiet our minds from the activities of this week, Lord, and help us to continue to bring you worship. May we hear your whispers now in our heart as we open up your word. Lord, touch us as only you can is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, have you noticed something in life that anything worthwhile takes some preparation? We first start off in our lives going where? To school. And it takes 12 years until we graduate with a diploma. That took a lot of preparation. Then we are told and encouraged to go to college, and that takes lots of preparation. You know, if you happen to have a big wedding ceremony, as I did 22 and a half years ago, that takes a lot of preparation. You know, actually, anything significant takes preparation, whether it be a birthday party, a holiday. We can't just show up and expect that everything is going to be great, right? We have to prepare. Now, go with me with this analogy. Let's suppose, for those of us who actually celebrate Christmas, let's suppose that you decided that you're going to not purchase a Christmas tree. You're not going to decorate it. You're not going to purchase any gifts. You're certainly not going to make a Christmas list. You are not going to prepare, you know, food. You're not going to invite anyone over. You're going to make no plans. Now, by the time December 25 rolls around, what kind of day will it be for you? Just like any other day, right? Nothing special, just another day. Whenever we put preparation ahead of the event, it makes it special. And I remember a time when I was visiting some friends, and so I came, and it happened to be a Christmas day that I actually spent the night Christmas Eve, woke up the next day Christmas Day. And then it dawned on me, you know what? I actually did not purchase a gift for the hosts. You know, no gift. That's kind of embarrassing. You know, I was their special guest, no gift. I said, no problem. I'll just get up in the morning and go shopping. You know, I was in my early 20s, you know, still learning things. So I got in my car, and I'm like, that's really odd. There's not very many people on the road today, December 25. But anyway, so I was making my way through this unfamiliar city and found that this store was closed, and that store was closed, and that store was closed. In fact, everything was closed, right? Except for a 7-Eleven. I'm like, okay, please, there's got to be something here I can get so I can wrap it up. See, I was unprepared, right? Now I'm going to confess before all of you that you know who those friends were? My future mother and father-in-law. Zach and Sue Saliba. Sorry about that. I didn't have a gift. I think I blamed it on Lena. Friends, we have to be prepared when it comes to important events. And could it be that we also need to be prepared for the Sabbath, another important event each week? The word is preparation, kids. Count how many times I say the word preparation or prepare. And we are prepared to give you a special treat. Count how many times I say that word. Today we are part 5 in our series entitled The Rest of Your Life. And I don't know about you, but for me, I've been reminded of the importance of the gift of the Sabbath. Sabbath is an incredible gift. I've been challenged. I've looked at my own life and realized there are certain ways that I have been shortcutting myself and shooting myself in the foot when it comes to the Sabbath. And I wonder if there's anyone here today that perhaps has been like me in not fully preparing for this special holiday from God every 7 days. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open them to Exodus chapter 16, verse 11. Exodus 16, verse 11. We're going to pick up a story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt. They'd been there for 400 plus years, and now they're going to be entering into the wilderness. They go through the parted Red Sea. And it dawns on them that they are very, what? Hungry. Moses, we are starving to death. I mean, didn't you plan? I mean, where's our food? At least back in Egypt, we could, you know, cook stew, and I'd rather be a captive eating food than free, starving to death out here. Moses, where's the food? That's where we pick up the story. And so God responds. Exodus chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with what? Bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. Every single day, God in his mercy would provide 2 distinct meals. For dinner, a meal of quail, meat. Somehow, miraculously, this quail would surround the camp of 2 million plus. And there, the Israelites would gather the quail and cook it and eat it for dinner. And then, each morning, supernaturally, God would bring bread from the sky, bread from heaven, and there would cover the ground. You know, the word manna actually is from the Hebrew, which means, what is it? They'd never seen such a thing, right? You know, what is this? Can you imagine the food value of this superfood? No cholesterol. Tastes great. Has all the essential vitamins and minerals that you would need. Tastes like honey. I mean, you know, perfect. I wish that we could actually buy this today. What do you think? God had invented taste buds, and he created the perfect edible delight from the sky. But God was doing more than feeding the children of Israel out in the desert, meeting more than a physical need. Exodus 16, verses 16 and 17. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. The Lord was teaching the children of Israel an important lesson about daily preparation. In order for you to eat, you need to gather. Gather the quail in the evening. You got to gather the bread in the morning. And this was an entire family responsibility. Those who could gather much, gathered much. Those little, they gathered a little bit. So you could imagine the 7-year-old kids didn't gather as much. The 30-year-olds gathered more. The grandparents gathered less. But they all gathered what they needed, because running a household is a family affair. God was calling everyone to help. Exodus 16, verse 19. Then the Lord said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." God wanted to teach another lesson, and that is that you were to collect this manna from the ground, this flake-like material, this cracker, this wafer, every single day. God did not want to create a situation where you could double up or triple up, right? He wanted you to apparently prepare every single day to gather the bread. Nevertheless, some people did what? They said, "Hey, you know what? Tomorrow, I just want to take it easy, so I'm going to double up today. I'm going to gather today as well as tomorrow's needs." And what happened? There was worms and maggots in that extra collected food. You know, some people would say, "Hey, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow. I'm not going to gather." But God said, "Hey, I already have a day of rest. So, no, I determine when you're going to rest, and I need you to gather every day." God did not want us to be slothful or lazy. And so those who followed God's prescribed manner of preparation each day, they were well fed. And those who took things into their own hands, they went hungry perhaps at times. Exodus 16, 21, "Each morning everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted." See, apparently the bread needed to be gathered at what time of day? In the morning, before the sun came out. "Yeah, well, I'm not a morning person." Well, then you're not going to eat, right? So the children of Israel were taught an important lesson of obedience. If you want to eat, you got to gather every day. But there was another lesson being taught here. There was a lesson as to the reason why God wanted them to gather this bread. Didn't Jesus once say, "I am the bread of life"? "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Jesus was teaching the children of Israel that each day you are to receive your physical food in the morning, but you're also to receive your spiritual food in the morning. You are to feed on Jesus each morning. Daily we are to consume the bread of life. Now, what is the bread of life? How do we get the bread of life? The Bible, right? Bible. A time of devotion with Christ apparently will nourish us more than anything else. We could even skip our breakfast, but apparently Jesus was trying to teach the children of Israel that you must gather the bread every day to be spiritually healthy. Can you be found gathering bread each morning? Our time with Jesus is the most important preparation we can make. Oh, that we would feast on the Word of God. But the feasting, it has to be a deliberate attempt, right? Just like the children of Israel, right? They had to wake up and intentionally decide, oh, I'm going to go out and gather the bread, the manna. I have to go out and do it. So too, we need to make a deliberate plan to feed on the bread, to feed on Jesus. Otherwise, it may not happen. How is your spiritual health today? How is mine? I would suggest to you that if you are not feeling particularly spiritually healthy, it has to do with how you're being nourished or not being nourished. And I want to challenge you, make sure you're feeding on the bread of Jesus every day, in the morning. A good place to start is the book of Mark. If you're not doing that right now, start with the book of Mark, one chapter a day. Feed on Jesus. See if you don't get impacted. Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 through 23. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. The people had come to understand that, hey, we need to be active each day, and we need to gather the bread each day, and we need to eat each morning, right? Eat the bread each morning. But now all of a sudden, God pulls a fast one and said, okay, now on Friday, you actually need to double up. It's okay to do it this time. Double up your effort. Now you can store for one day. Take a double portion. Omer is about 2.3 of a liter. 2 liters. 2 liters. So now you can double up even more so that tomorrow on Sabbath you're not gathering. No bread, no quail. So the people were called to honor the Sabbath in preparation by working extra hard. And by the way, did you notice? Also, do your baking and your meal prep on the preparation day. Hence the phrase, the preparation day, was coined and continues through today. The beauty of the Sabbath is there's a direct correlation to its blessing in our life based upon our preparation for it. If there's no thought given to the coming Sabbath, then when Sabbath arrives, there's chaos. Or there's certainly not rest. But I know in our family and in my life, when I prepare, when I think about it ahead of time, when I'm strategic, Sabbath can be quite a delight. Jesus said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And Jesus also said, Sabbath was made for us to enjoy. But we must prepare. Now, there are 2 ways to prepare for the Sabbath. One is physically preparing, and one is spiritually preparing. Physically is when we say, all right, my vocation is whatever, and I need to prepare so that I'm not working on the Sabbath to fulfill my vocation. Students, that means that we do a calculation on our studies and we say, hey, I need to prepare so I can rest on Sabbath. What about the house itself, the apartment, the dorm room? Well, we need to do a calculation. What do I need to do so I can totally chill on Sabbath? We do a calculation. We start to make decisions. Now, when I was in the 5th grade, this is when I truly remembered what the Sabbath day was about and preparation day. See, my parents, this is how I felt. They loaded us up, us kids, with all kinds of chores. So, every other week I was vacuuming, on Friday afternoon. my sisters would dust, and then I would do the bathrooms every other Sabbath, Friday, sorry. Excuse me. But I noticed that you guys seem kind of calm with that. But no, I was Friday afternoons always working, doing the chores with my sisters. My mom was in the kitchen. She was getting ready, you know, with what she was doing. And then, you know, 5 o'clock would come around, and we pretty much had the house in order. You know, maybe there was some cooking still going on. And then we had our regular routine of Friday night, which was homemade pizza. And then we would eat dinner and have a nice worship. Just as we put forth extra effort in planning for a holiday or any special event, does it not make sense that we would also put forth some thought and preparation in anticipating the Sabbath? Sabbath was meant to be a blessing for us. So the children of Israel are told to double up on Friday. Work extra hard on Friday so that you can chill out on Sabbath. Can you imagine how it feels when you can just totally rest? You know, Friday night comes, and you're just sort of like, okay, not everything is accomplished, but I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop checking my emails. I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to shut down Facebook, maybe. I'm going to shut off the smartphone. What? Did I just say that? You know, I'm going to unplug and plug into my family, into relationships, into my God. Friday night is a good time to do that. You know, for our family, there's some family traditions. We're not always perfect with them, but one thing we've done in our past is, you know, as Friday night is approaching and we're trying to get the house ready, about to have a dinner together, we might light a candle that would signal, hey, you know, we're kind of into a new era now for the next 24 hours. Maybe we turn down the lights. Maybe we have a special meal that everybody likes. After we eat dinner, and by the way, while we're eating dinner, we shift gears with our current conversations, right? Instead of what we normally talk about, we're a little more disciplined. We say, okay, you know, I'm not going to talk about buying and selling and my anger over this issue or whatever. Frustrations with that. You know what? We're going to talk about spiritual things. Our love for Jesus. Our love for one another. Family traditions. Maybe after dinner, we will typically have a worship. Sit around on the couch and maybe sing, have a time of prayer, open up the Word, read a story, maybe share a story, but, you know, kind of bring in the Sabbath and linger there as a family. Talk. Some of my favorite memories with my family is Friday night worship. After worship, kind of mellow out, hang out, maybe listen to some music, talk some more, and realize that we are in the Sabbath. Now you might be thinking, wait a minute, I don't know what planet you're on, because the reality is that life is busy. I mean, this is the 21st century, not the, you know, 15th century BC. Okay, things have changed a little bit. Get with the times. I get it. But that's the devil's method of stealing the joy from us when it comes to Sabbath. And the only way that we can truly enjoy the Sabbath is to strategically prepare for it. Shop ahead of time. Decide who you're going to invite ahead of time. Decide what you're going to do on Sabbath afternoon ahead of time. Maybe a hike, a bike ride. Hey, I'm going to go visit these people. You know what? We're just going to chill today. We're just going to rest today on Sabbath. That's our plan this Sabbath. But have a plan. We put all of our effort into everything else. Sabbath will be a delight when we think about it a little bit more and plan. Sabbath is a great opportunity also, parents, to showcase its value and importance with family traditions. Consider this quote, "The Sabbath will never be meaningful to your children if you don't make an effort to set it apart in their eyes as a special holy day. If their memories of Sabbath consist only of frantically trying to jumpstart the family on Saturday mornings in order to get them to church, then think of what blessings they and you will have missed." Now, beyond the physical preparations of Sabbath are the spiritual preparations. And we already learned that God was trying to teach the children of Israel how to prepare for that Sabbath by daily gathering the manna. So the best way to prepare for this gathering right here is to be gathering the manna privately, spending time with Jesus each morning in prayer and in the Bible. But there's something else, another way that we can prepare for Sabbath. And that is to query in your mind, is there anything that you're holding on to? Anger, a stress. You say, "Lord, I'm going to give this to you." Is there a person that has been causing you some pain? Or maybe you've been causing pain too. You know what? Preparing spiritually is settling that issue. Call up the person. Talk to the family member. And say, "You know what? I'm sorry. I want to let it go. I want to forgive. I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. Let's just end this thing." That is part of Sabbath prep. Jesus said in Matthew 5:23-24, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." Preparing for the Sabbath means dealing with those issues, those relationships, forgiving, letting go. Now there's another key component to spiritual preparation, and that is the most important one, focusing on Jesus and what he did for you and me on the preparation day. It was on Friday, right? When he stood before Pilate, for the Pharisees first, and was wrongfully accused, slapped around, spat upon, beat up. It was on the preparation day that he stood trial for you and me to face a death sentence that we deserve. It's on the preparation day that he was condemned and picked up his cross, picked up our cross, and went to Golgotha. On the preparation day where he laid out his hands and his life was given for our sins, my sins. Jesus, focusing on Jesus yet again, is a great way to prepare for Sabbath. Jesus is also preparing to come back for you. Right? He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." The least we can do is prepare our relationship with him each morning, spend a little bit of time with him, and then prepare and getting ready for the Sabbath. His creation, his gift, his blessing. Some of you may have heard the story of Nikolai Panchuk. He was a Sabbath-keeping minister who served in communist Russia. Pastor Panchuk was a stubborn man, but you might also say a convicted man. Because when he got to his destination, a prison, thanks to the KGB, thanks to the fact that he would not turn over the names of his congregation to the Communist Party. So when he found himself there in Siberia, in isolation, except for the prisoners around him. He said to the warden, I got to tell you something. I notice you guys are working every day of the week, but I actually keep Sabbath. You what? Yeah, I keep Sabbath. That's a 24-hour period of where I basically, you know, I'm not working. Sir, you're a prisoner, right? You will work. Well, when Friday came, Pastor Panchuk said, you know, in his heart, I'm determined not to work on Sabbath. And he told the warden. Sabbath morning came, everybody lined up, and they asked him if he'd be willing to work. He said no. So in front of all the prisoners, they nearly beat him to death. Took him a day to recover, or 2 days to recover. Finally, he got his strength back, and by Friday, he knew the decision was going to have to be made again. Sabbath morning, he lined up with all the other prisoners, and there they were given their assignment to begin another day. And they said, hey, what do you think, Sabbath keeper? Taunting him. He said, no, I will not work on the Sabbath. Then they said, okay, well, let us give you more time to think about it. And they drug him to a 4-foot box. And there they placed him in the box, nailed the lid shut. And for 10 days, he sat in this box. After 10 days, he was removed and asked, hey, what about now? Will you work on Sabbath now? No. And so there he was, 10 days in the box, 4 days free. 10 days in, 4 days out, 14-day period. Every seventh day on Friday night, given a chance, hey, will you work? No, I will not work on the Sabbath. This went on for months. And then a year. And then 2 years in a box, wasting away, atrophying. Water was snuck in to him. Food was snuck into him. By a guard. Finally, the warden said, all right, okay, you broke me. Okay, all right, what do you need so that you don't have to work on your Sabbath? I just need to work doubly hard on Friday, that's all. Why didn't you tell me that before? Well, here's the plan. So the warden said, okay, fine, you're going to water the prisoners. You'll be given an ox and you can do your job. And if you can get it done doubly on the rest of the week, you can take your Saturday off. Well, you know, the prisoner was excited. Nikolai knew that he could probably do it. Until he began to work with the ox. The ox was an old, stubborn ox, almost as stubborn as Nikolai, actually. And the old ox would not move any faster than he decided to go. Come on! Come on! And so, basically, all they could do was what was required. They would go to the spring a mile away, fill up their containers, go back, fill up the reservoir of water. And it was all he could do just to keep up with the one-day requirement. He was getting more and more discouraged. He was thinking, oh, at least we'll do one extra, you know, each day. One extra run. No. No. So by the time Friday came, Nikolai was very discouraged. Lord, this is a setup. I'm going to be back in the box. There's no way this ox is going to be going any faster than a plodding ox. That's all he does. He's a lazy ox. How did I end up with this guy? So Thursday night, he had a prayer, showed up, you know, his head down, came to the barn. Normally he's got to get the ox to wake up. This time, the ox is standing up, and he's snorting, you know, he's aggressive, and he's going like this with his paw. He's like, ah, that's interesting, okay, well, let me get him hooked up, just, you know, connected and everything. All of a sudden, then he connects, off goes the ox, running with the cart. So So Nikolai is like, okay, well, let me try to keep up. Anyway, this ox was running to the spring. Then he would, you know, Nikolai, the first pass, he makes it, and he fills up the containers and puts them on, and the last container, off goes the ox again, trotting now with the cart back to the camp. And then, you know, Nikolai is able to take off the, pour all the water into the containers, and then the ox takes off running again, and he does this all day long, never walking, never stopping unless they're at the spring, continually working. And poor Nikolai, he's saying, slow down, ox, slow down, I can't keep up with you. And he had to get on the cart, actually, you know, to rest as he's driving to the spring. And wouldn't you know it, but on Friday, just before sundown, the ox and the carts of water arrive in the camp just in time for a double supply of water. This was a miracle. I mean, come on. This ox normally, as lazy as they come. Nikolai thought, okay, maybe this is a freak accident. I don't know what happened. But the next week, on Friday, sure enough, that ox was possessed to work doubly hard on Friday. Now, you know, next day on Sabbath, you know, one of the prisoners went out there just to see, went to the ox. You know, that ox was just sitting there, would not move, you know, just sitting there. Come Sunday, it was up, you know, going slow as usual, Monday, Tuesday, all the way through on Friday, working doubly hard. It's interesting how the, even the animal kingdom knows what day is the preparation day and what day is Sabbath. Isn't that why the commandment says, neither you nor your manservant or maidservant nor your ox or animal, your, you know, 6 years. 6 years of double time on Friday for Sabbath rest on Sabbath. Until finally the warden said, all right, you know what? I've had it with you. You're going to be dismissed. Fine. Pastor, go. Good behavior. Your sentence is cut short. Of course, the ox was reassigned to another prisoner who wasn't told what had happened. Then on Friday, the prisoner was like, what is going on with this ox? And could not keep up, of course, and then could not get the ox to work on Sabbath. Friends, I think something supernatural happens on Friday. I think that if you are intentional about keeping the Sabbath, God will give you efficiency and effectiveness. If you honor him, he will honor you. Do you want to be a serious Sabbath keeper? Do you want to be a serious follower of Christ? Do you want to accept his gift of rest the way he intended? Do you want to prepare the way the children of Israel prepared every day, eating the manna, you and I taking in the manna, the bread of life? Do you want to be a serious Sabbath keeper and honoring the Lord of the Sabbath? Then I invite you to recommit with me. And this is personal. This is between you and God, between you and your family. I hope that you have been convicted in your heart. Sabbath is a gift. We just need to receive it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, oh Lord God, these last several weeks we've been talking about the rest of our lives, and Lord, in the rest of our lives, may we embrace your Sabbath in a new way. May we honor it in a new way. Because, Lord, as we honor the Sabbath, we honor you. Lord, may we make greater preparation for it, knowing that you have much to bless us with that day. Lord, thank you for my friends here. Bless them, I pray. Bless their commitment in their hearts. May you honor them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
stand for our closing song, O Day of Rest and Gladness.